We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good morning, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM. Ready to get your week started on the right foot, on the solid foundation of God's Word. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and we had a wonderful, wonderful day yesterday. Got to celebrate a baptism. Got another one coming up here in the days to come, and we are just really, really excited about what God is doing. Today, I want to start off by saying thank you to the fine folks at Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. If you need any block or concrete work done, give them a call. They'll come out, take a look at it, give you an estimate, tell you, if they can do it, when they can do it, how much it will cost, and you will find that having the professionals do that for you is way better than you trying to do it yourself. And so 321-536-5804. In fact, let me just give you the three phone numbers that I normally give you. If you are looking to write these down, normally I mention one of these three times a week. So let me just tell you the three numbers, and if you get a chance to write them down, if nothing else, you can look at it for future reference. Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804. Wyrick Air is 321-632-9538. That's Wyrick Air Heat and Electric. And then Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284. If you need air conditioning work right here in central Brevard County. So with that being said, what kind of week are you going to have this week? What kind of day are you having already? I know Mondays are one of those days. It's like, oh no, it's Monday again. At least that's the world's philosophy. But what if I told you that God had created you for such a time as this, placed you where he wants you for such a time as this, so that you could be impacting the kingdom of God for such a time as this? Let me just take you back to Titus chapter 1 last week. I didn't really get to this too much at the end of the broadcast, so let me just take you back to that, where it says in verse number 8, for a bishop must, that's the first part of verse 7, verse 8, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word of God, or faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. And so that self-control that was talked about being manifest in the pastor or being manifest in the bishop or the minister of your church was for the purpose of impacting those who are in opposition or who don't find themselves in a position of the truth. They find their lives out of order in some area. And so I've got a couple of my kids that are extremely meticulously organized. And when they come into a circumstance or a situation that is chaotic or disorganized or whatever, they come with one purpose, and that is to put things back in order. We talked a little bit about that on Friday with that was one of the reasons that Titus was sent to Crete, was to put things in order that were lacking. Okay? You and I, when we are dealing with things in people's lives that are out of order, it is not because we are trying to be mean or harsh or cruel. It is so that we can share with them the love of Jesus Christ in a manner that is going to exhort them. It's going to build them up. It's going to teach them, but it's also going to grip their heart. Okay. Now, I'm not the Holy Spirit, and I'm not trying to do the Holy Spirit's job. But if I will speak the words that the Holy Spirit gives me to speak to a person at a God-appointed time, the Holy Spirit is going to take that, and it's his responsibility to convict of sin. Okay? And so it's a divine partnership between God the Holy Spirit and us as to how we live our lives on a daily basis with the purpose of impacting those around us. I've been in public environments for a long time, worked in the retail industry for way too long. I had a conversation with somebody. I don't even remember what store it was. And they were explaining to me how rude and vicious people had been to them. And she said, you know, sometimes I just wish. And I said, let me see if I can finish this thought for you, because it's a thought that I had, that you want to pass a federal law that would mandate that everybody works retail for one Christmas season. So instead of being mean and nasty, they would encounter the mean and nasty people and they'd come away with greater compassion. And she said, that's the exact thing that I would like to see. You know, we need to make sure that as believers, we conduct ourselves. And it's not just the pastor that exhibits self-control with the purpose of a positive gospel impact. As you turn to 1 Peter today, I want you to see that it is also vital. It is an integral part of the spiritual maturing process that God has for each and every believer. This is one of my favorite passages of scripture. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 2 says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness." Okay? So I want you to see you do not have a resource insufficiency problem. God has abundantly provided you everything that is necessary for life and godliness, and that provision comes through, continuing in verse 3 now, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Okay, look at verse number 5. "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love." I'm going to stop reading there, probably won't get through all this, but if you add in diligence, the diligence that is required to make sure that you are increasing in these areas, okay? Let me go ahead and read verse number 8 and 9 for context. "For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins." Okay? So if you look and see that it is a diligent mindset, if you factor that into this delineation of things that we are supposed to be adding to, you will find that self-control is right at the heart. It's number 5 out of 9. If you list faith as the beginning, then there's 8, and self-control is number 4. If you take self-control out of the equation, you will not get to the desired result that you want to have. It says that giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. For some reason, it seems to have been socially acceptable to say, well, I believe in God. I believe I'm going to heaven and all is fine, well, and good. And that, I want you to know that declaration is not the finish line. It's the launching pad. And that faith that says, I am a radically different person now because Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, has taken up residence inside of me and brought his entire entourage of authority, of power, of blessings and promises, and he is dwelling inside of me, and he has radically changed my life. That sort of encounter says, what God has done for me, he can do for you. And what he has done for me, I want to live as if I'm a transformed individual. Okay? And so Peter writes and says, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. How many virtuous people do you know? I'm talking really good people. How many of you would like a few more Proverbs 31 women? How many of you would like a few more virtuous and noble men? Are, you know, if you want to get right down to it, what society has been clamoring for in the last 6 to 12 months through the Me Too movement and all of the scandals over the last year, is society is saying, where have all of the people of virtue gone? And I'm here to tell you that in the house of God, we need not just pastors who are blameless and virtuous, but we need churches that are filled with people of integrity, of virtue, and honor. And so he says, add to your faith virtue. There should be a change in the way that you think and the way that you act, the things that you do, the words that you say. If faith has really taken root in your heart, make sure that you give all diligence to bring that change of character into full fruition. It says, add to virtue knowledge. Now, it's very important that you don't get that high school mindset. And what I mean by that is, I can remember when I was in high school, that the thought was, man, when you reach high school, then you have arrived with knowledge, only to find out that when I went to college, that there was still more to learn. And when I got out of college and thinking, oh, good, at least I don't have to turn in any homework assignments. Listen, I have since found out that there was a lot more learning that needed to be done. When I became a pastor, I didn't become a pastor because I was an expert. That's not it. There has been so much learning that has had to be done in the past 25 years. There's still learning that is going on. I was reading a book last week, and as I read that book, I was learning things, and it's like, you know what, this is really good stuff. You know, I'm not a person that just wants to be surrounded with fluff. I want to be knowing God. It's the people that know their God that do great exploits. If it's going to take God all of eternity to reveal all of the different facets of his nature and character and who he is and what he wants to share, if it's going to take all of eternity for him to take us from glory to glory, I think that I should not get off of the learning train. Listen, it says that as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. So if you and I stop and are growing in knowledge and awareness of God and experiencing Him on a level that we are just generally not accustomed to people, too many people in our life knowing them at that sort of personal, intimate level. You don't want to stop. You don't want to stop knowing Him. You don't want to stop growing in knowledge, because when you do, then all of a sudden you find that your awareness of everything that has been provided for you for life and godliness, it's stagnant. God wants us vibrant, and vital, and growing in faith. And so let's set our sights this week on making sure that we grow in knowledge. Not just head knowledge, but heart knowledge, that we understand our God. And it says, into knowledge, self-control. Okay? So the more that we know Him, the more that we're going to see that by Him, He brings great control into our life, that things that used to cause us to become derailed or sidetracked or become but out of control, that now we find that He is causing us to exert control over the temptations that used to distract us and derail us. Now all of a sudden, where we once saw defeat, now we're seeing victory. So let me just say this right now. You are not meant to be governed by your past. You're not meant to be governed by your hurt or your failures or your sins. You're not meant to be governed by your emotional predisposition or your genealogical attachment to, you know, life-controlling substances or anything like that. You are meant to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that impacts your character, and that causes you to hunger to know Him more, that you are diligently striving and reaching for those things. You've got your heart set on it so that you have control over this vessel that you live in under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And to self-control, add perseverance. Perseverance. It is so easy to want to quit. Listen, if you think that pastors do not get discouraged, if you don't think that I've ever been discouraged, you would be sadly mistaken. Tommy Barnett, a pastor, I think he's now turned the church over, and I think his son is pastoring it. But he said that the privilege of quitting is... I don't know if I can say it the way that he's. It is a right that is granted, but one that shouldn't be exercised. You and I, we are called to persevere, to overcome. I want you to know that greater is He that is within you than he that is in the world. That today the devil, as he wages war against the plans of God in your life, that it is not a fair fight, but it is not a fair fight because the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you and He wants you to persevere. Okay? I coined a phrase one time and I said, God has given me the gift of stubborn, but it is not the gift of stubborn against the things of God. It is stubborn for the things of God. And I am going to continue to press on and endure, and I'm going to take the battle to the enemy instead of waiting for the enemy to bring the battle to me. I'm going to persevere. I'm not going to give up. I remember a book that was written when I was in college. I spent some time at Oral Roberts University, and he said, don't give up. Don't give up. You see, you are called to endure. We talked about this with things that call for the patient endurance of the saints. Persevere, do not give up. And when you are persevering, add to that godliness. Now, this is a notch up. This isn't just virtuous. This isn't just good. This is something that it takes God living inside of you to accomplish. This is something that every believer should be diligently striving for. Godliness. Godliness in our thought life. Godliness in our attitudes towards others. Godliness when it comes to worship and praise. Godliness when it comes to being there to stand with others who are going through a serious trial. Think about where you would want God to manifest in your life, okay? When you're going through hard times, when you're battling sickness, when you're facing challenges you've never faced before, you're under persecution. Well, godliness says, you know what? I'm going to make sure that I am there for others in the body of Christ during those same seasons in their life. Okay? Don't ever give up on becoming a more godly person. Now, this statement here may surprise you. I hope it does. I have a feeling that those surrounding the throne, if there was a proximity issue, I'm going to say this. I believe that there are going to be a lot more people that fame never talked about. There are going to be the people closest to Jesus, I have a feeling, are going to be people who may never have preached a sermon. They were never on the radio, never on television. The world never called them famous. But day in and day out, they lived such a godly and powerful life that God heard their prayers, answered their prayers, and those people impacted others in a supernatural way. You see, if you are in it for the fame, you are in it for the wrong reason. To godliness, add brotherly kindness. Diligently striving to be kind to your brother. I don't know about you, but not all of the seasons that I've had with my brother when we were growing up were what I would describe as kind. There were some times that we were rather competitive with one another, contentious with one another. I'm so thankful that today we're both brothers in Christ. And to see what God is doing in my own brother and sister and my brother-in-law, in their families, I celebrate that. I celebrate that. But we're not talking about biological brothers here. We're talking about showing kindness to those with whom we share the same spiritual DNA. Okay? Now, what if you had a brother who had no awareness of who he was? I love to read stories about people who were friends, and then later on when they grew up, they found out that one or both of them had been adopted at some point in time. There was one several years ago about two sisters who were adopted out to two different orphanages in the Philippines, and they ended up in the same hospital in Tampa. One of them was a nurse and one of them was a patient, and as they began to know one another, they realized that they were siblings. Now, I will tell you how you don't discover that. You don't discover that by not taking time to get to know one another. You don't discover that because one of them is just flat out mean and nasty. I tell you what happened. I'm just going to use this one because it struck such a note with me, inside of me. You go into that room and you find out you're from the Philippines. Man, I'm here. I'm a long way from home, and I'm also from the Philippines. Well, what part of the Philippines were you from? And you begin to discuss that, and all of a sudden you find out that you have more and more in common. Well, let me tell you, folks, I'm not from the Philippines. I'm from Oklahoma. And whenever I find other people from Oklahoma, I celebrate because we're both a long way from home. in a spiritual dynamic, that's the same thing that I recognize, is that there are people that we are going to encounter in this community, and we're all a long way from home. You say, well, I was born and raised in Brevard County. This world's not meant to be your home. It's not your destination. It's just the place that you're traveling through. You were meant to be in the Father's house. And you're going to encounter people this week. Some of them will be mean and nasty. Some of them will be just so sweet. You don't need dessert. I mean, all you got to do is have a conversation with them and all of a sudden you're sugar overload. We need to be exhibiting kindness. And it says, and to brotherly kindness, brotherly love. And to brotherly kindness, love. That love is something that happens. See, we're talking about self-control. It's vitally important. It's not the end of the matter. You controlling yourself may be just one step in the process that is going to result in a demonstration of God's love that is going to build the body of Christ. And so I want to encourage you today, don't just love those who love you, but love those that God is positioning you and I to build the body of Christ. He says, if these are yours and abound, I love that word abounding. God wants you and I to superabound. He says, you will not be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If I can say something to you, it's this. We need more people giving their heart to Jesus, not fewer people giving their heart to Jesus. And I think that if each one of us would look at verses 5 through 8 there, and we'd realize that God has given us the responsibility to say, hey, God, would you create in me a hunger to grow in these areas? Then we're going to see more people being delivered from the strongholds the enemy has used in their life. Don't forget, it goes on, it says, that the person is short-sighted even to blindness has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. You know what I don't want to forget? I don't want to forget where God has brought me from. Because where God has brought me from, there are people still living in that valley right now. And the fact that God brought me out of that situation is evidence that he can bring others still today, because he's the same God in 2018 as he was in whatever year you want to apply. He's still very much in the people business. Don't forget, those people we're praying for, you were there, I was there, and God wants to bring them out. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, I bring you something new, I tell how great you are, I tell my praise to you. It's like an